Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Thank you so much for joining us for worship today. What an incredible season this is in the life of the church. I can just see God going before us in such power and in such an incredible dimension. And Wednesday night was so incredibly moving. It was, I believe, not only informative, but transformative in our lives. And so if you didn't get a chance to see it, you need to go back. You need to watch it. You can check it out on our podcast. And then as well, don't miss this Wednesday night, because it's going to be part two, as Debbie and I had a powerful conversation with Earl and Onika McClellan. They pastor Shoreline Church in the Dallas, Texas area. And it was just fantastic. We thought we might talk with them for a few minutes, and I mean, ended up talking with them for quite a while. But you're not going to want to miss the service on Wednesday night. It will encourage you. It will strengthen you. It will bring a smile to your face. And at the same time, will also help us to think deeply in a way that will bring healing and change to our society. So you're not going to want to miss that. And again, just thank you for being a part of the church. Debbie and I cannot wait till we're back together on June 28th. So June 28th, all of our James River campuses are going to be open, and we're so excited to be able to worship together as a congregation again. Well, if you're new this morning, we're in a series on the book of Philippians. The title of this series is Joyride, and you can see we've got that on a VW bus behind me, and we've been learning lessons from the Apostle Paul, who, although he is writing from a prison where he's chained to a Roman soldier 24/7, his heart is filled with joy. And today we come to an incredible passage. It's probably one of the more well-known passages in the book of Philippians, as the Apostle Paul writes these maybe familiar and certainly inspiring words to us. He says this in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, "But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Several years ago, Jack Canfield of Chicken Soup for the Soul fame wrote a best-selling book entitled The Power of Focus. The theme of the book was essentially that the key to achieving anything is focus. And that's understandable. I mean, when you look at the men and women in history or in our present world today who have accomplished much in life, the common denominator is they had focus. They were focused on what they were doing. The Apostle Paul, when you read through the New Testament, you follow his life in the book of Acts, and then you read his epistles, you quickly get the idea. This was a very focused individual. He was focused on Christ, and as a result, he grew spiritually, and he changed his world for Christ. The fact of the matter is, powerful things happen in our lives when we focus on Christ. If you want to grow spiritually, focus on Christ. So for the next few moments, what we're going to do is we're going to look at Philippians chapter 3 and verses 12 through 16, where Paul gives us four principles that will help us to grow in Christ. Principle number one, to grow spiritually, we have to own our shortcomings. Remember back in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul said this, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death." Now think of this. Paul had been walking with Christ for 30 years. He had been taught the gospel by the resurrected Christ in the Arabian desert. Paul had been caught up into the third heaven, and he says he saw inexpressible things. Paul had Christ appear to him at Corinth and say, Keep preaching, I'm with you. Paul had done miracles. He'd healed the sick. He had raised the dead. And after all of that, it's very interesting. Paul says, "I want to know him." What's that tell us? That Christ is so awesome, that Jesus is so majestic, that Jesus is so incredible, that there is so much to him, so much about him, that will never exhaust all there is to know and experience about him, either in this life or in the next. Paul says, I want to know him. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to know the fellowship of his suffering. I want to know everything that I can possibly know about Jesus. Listen, here is a truth that is so encouraging that motivates us. The more you and I know about Christ, the more we know that there is to know about Christ. And the more you and I know about Christ, the more we know how wonderful he is, the more we know how powerful he is, the more we know how loving he is, the more we know we want to know him, and the more we become like him. But now watch what Paul says. It's very interesting after having said that in verse 10. Listen to what he says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. Not that I've already obtained this, or am already made perfect. In the NIV, it puts it this way. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. I find it so interesting. Look at where Paul starts. He starts with this awareness that he hasn't yet arrived. I mean, this is a man who will have written a third of the New Testament. And by the time we're reading Philippians, he's well on his way to doing that. This is a man who lives such a powerful life that he supports himself as a tent maker when he's not preaching. And as he's making tents, he's sweating. They take his sweat rags, they place them on people, and they're instantly healed in the name of Jesus. I mean, this is a man of power. This is a man who has the grace of God on his life in such an incredible way. And yet he's saying, I haven't arrived yet. I've got a ways to go. One of the things that helps you and I to grow closer in Christ is when we realize there is more, that we have not seen it all, we have not heard it all, that we don't know it all. Spiritual growth starts with two things, an awareness that we haven't arrived and a longing to be different than we are. And today, if you've come to the place where you're spiritually satisfied, where you've had enough prayer and enough Bible study and enough teaching and enough Christian fellowship, then you're in a very dangerous place spiritually. And it's doubtful, really, that you'll grow much in your walk with Christ if you're bored with Christ, if you're bored with the things of God. Listen, can I just tell you this? After having been a lead pastor preaching for 35 years. One of the joys and one of the amazing things about preaching is there's always more to know. There's always more to learn. There's always more to experience. And when we're hungry, when we realize we haven't arrived, we're going to learn more about Christ. We're going to experience more of him. There's a second principle to growing in Christ. To grow spiritually, we must press into Christ. You say, what do you mean, press into Christ? Well, in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12, Paul writes this, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Then in verse 14, he says something similar. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The word press could be translated as to pound or to beat. In fact, it's used that way in verse 6 of Philippians chapter 3, and it's talking about how Paul persecuted the church. The idea is of that word is it conveys a sense of spiritual ferocity and aggressive intensity. There's no such thing as a passive approach to spiritual growth. You can't just sit back. You can't just say, well, if Christ wants me to grow in him, then he'll make it happen. No, you and I have to have that spiritually aggressive intensity, that spiritual, I like that phrase, ferocity, that causes us to press in, to focus on it, to aggressively pursue growth in Christ. Paul says something similar in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verses 24 through 26 when he says, "Don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win." All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. Paul is saying, I'm running to win, and I'm making every step count. There's this focus. There's this spiritual aggressiveness. I want to ask you, do you have that in your life? Where you're spiritually aggressive to growing Christ, where you're focused on Him, and you say, listen, of all the things in my life, the most important thing is knowing Christ, growing in Christ, growing in my love for Christ, growing in my knowledge of Christ, growing in my experience of His power working in my life. It is such a powerful thing when you and I have that kind of aggressive focus. It changes our life. As we go back to Philippians chapter 3, what is Paul pressing on for? What is his goal? Look at it in verse 12. But I press on, watch this, to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Now, I want you to think about this. Paul is aggressively taking hold of Christ, but he says the reason why he is because Christ aggressively took hold of him. Do you realize God pursued you? Do you realize God loved you so much that God was going after you long before you were going after him? That God, before the foundation of the earth, before the earth was created, God was thinking about you. He was planning for your creation. He was planning for your salvation. He was planning for you to grow in Christ with him now and to glorify him and to experience his glory in heaven, in the life to come. So here is Paul, and he says, listen, Christ took hold of me. I want to take hold of him. Now, why did God take hold of us? We get an insight to that in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, where Paul writes this, for God knew his people in advance. Think about that. In eternity, before time began, God knew about you. He was planning for you. Your life is not an accident. Your life is not accidental. It's not incidental. God willed your creation. I don't care what the circumstances of your birth were or your conception were. God willed you. God loved you. You are not here without having a divine purpose because God cares for you and he's reaching out to you. And so watch this. For God knew his people in advance and he chose them to become like his son. Why did God take hold of you and I? Why did God save us? He saved us that you and I might be like Jesus. The number one goal of every Christian should be like Jesus. Ask yourself, I mean, this is a question as I'm studying the passage and I've been thinking about it all week. Is that my goal? Is my number one goal to be like Jesus? That was Paul's goal. And I think of it, there he was in prison. He was chained 24/7 to a Roman soldier, but he didn't say, I press on to get out of prison. Getting out of prison wasn't his number one goal. Did he want to get out of prison? Certainly. But his number one goal, even in prison, was that he might know Christ. He says, I press on. I'm focused on becoming like Jesus. And that pursuit so consumed him that he wrote, I want to take hold. I want to be like Christ. This is a laser focus. And he writes in verse 13, but one thing I do, the most important goal that we can have, the singular focus of our life should be to be like Christ. You say, but I got a lot of other responsibilities. I have a lot of other things I have to take care of. And I need to look at those things too. Listen, this is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Jesus said, but seek first the kingdom of God and all these other things will be added unto you. Jesus said, you take care of my business. I'll take care of your business. You focus on me, and I'll take care of all the things that concern you. The secret to a powerful life is to focus on the kingdom, to focus on Jesus. And if we'll be like Christ, God will take care of everything else in our life. Because honestly, when we as followers of Christ, when we're focused on Him and we're like Jesus, it makes me a better husband. It makes people better mates, better parents, better employees, better students. I mean, the key is we have to focus on Christ. Even as a pastor, my goal in life is not to build a big church. It's not to succeed in the church world or to be invited to 1,000 places. There's nothing wrong with that. But my focus has got to be like Christ. And when you make being like Christ your focus, it will lead to a powerful, impacting life. To grow spiritually, we have to press into Christ. There's a third principle I want you to notice. To grow spiritually, we need to forget the past. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. If we're going to grow spiritually, we have to forget a few things. We can't be looking back. No runner ever wins a race by looking back. In the first sub-4-minute mile, Roger Bannister and John Landy were racing in Canada. John Landy was ahead until he looked over his shoulder and Roger Bannister went by him on the right side and set a world record. That's a lesson, that's a reminder that we're never gonna win the race by looking backwards. You know, I like to remind people that the rearview mirror is a whole lot smaller than the windshield in a car, because where you and I are heading is more important than where we've been. Paul says, forgetting what lies behind. You say, like what? What do I need to forget? Well, we need to forget our past successes. I mean, we can't just live in past victories. It's so easy, I think, especially for churches, to get caught up in the past, to remember times God met them, to remember times when God blessed them. It can happen to Christians, for us to go back and say, wow, God did this, and we get so caught up in celebrating what God did in the past that we forget to look forward to the future with even greater anticipation. Maybe you've been around people like that, and they'll say things like, well, I used to do this, or I remember when we used to have these kind of services, or I used to go to church and we did it this way. Hey, praise God for what He did in the past. Praise God for all of the victories. But if we focus on those things, it will hinder us from running the race and seeing God do in our life and in the church what He wants to do in the days to come. Think of it this way. Practically speaking, no runner stands at the starting line and at the start of the race, before the gun goes off, turns around and says to everybody, I want you to know I've run a lot of races and I've run fast over here and I've run fast over there and I did this and I did that. Listen, who cares? You better get in the blocks. You better run fast today, because if you don't, you'll lose the race. You have to forget your successes. Thank God for them, but don't live in them. Some of you have known a tremendous amount of success when it's come to walking with the Lord and serving Him. But can I just say, God has more for you? We have to forget our past successes, and we have to forget our past failures. For some, it's not the success you've had, it's the failure that you've experienced in your life. You failed the Lord. You thought you were going to win, and maybe you got sidetracked through a temptation, or maybe you have a besetting sin, and it so consumes you, your failures, that it's hard for you to believe God can use you. It's hard for you to believe God loves you. It's hard for you to believe that the best is yet to come. Listen, Paul's advice is this: forget the past. Forget your failures. Forget the disappointments, forget the disasters. So you tried and you didn't make it. Learn from it, but then get up, dust yourself off, and keep on going. But whatever you do, don't dwell on it. God has forgiven your sin. When you're going to Him constantly and saying, God, I would believe you, but I did this and this and this, He's already forgiven you. Move forward with the grace of God and with an anticipation that He's going to do great things in your life. I mean, it's so important to move beyond our failures. Forget the past. Forget the inequities. Forget the excuses. Failures and setbacks, they're a part of life. But we learn from them and then we move on. If we're going to grow spiritually, we have to forget the past. Number four, and finally, to grow spiritually, we need to stop comparing ourselves to others. None of us can afford to be the kind of Christian who is so busy looking at everyone else that we fail to put the effort into achieving spiritual growth for ourselves. Paul says this in verse 15, all of us who are mature should take such a view of these things. You say, what's he saying? Mature people understand these things about spiritual growth. They understand they haven't arrived. They understand that you have to really press into Christ. They understand you have to forget past successes and failures. But Paul knows this. Paul knows not everyone is going to accept that. He knew that there would be some people who would make an excuse for their lack of spiritual growth. So how does Paul handle it? I think this is so instructive for you and I. In verse 15, he says, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Paul left them in God's hands. He said, if you don't agree, listen, God's going to speak to your heart. Because here's what Paul knew. You and I cannot force someone to grow spiritually. Parents, let me just say this to you. We pray for our children. We lead our children. But you and I cannot force any of our children to grow spiritually. We can't force them to walk in spiritual victory. You can't force people to accept teaching. You can't force people to read the Word of God. You can't force people to pray. So what do you do with people who aren't growing? Certainly it's heartbreaking. No doubt it's disappointing, but here's what you do. You tell them the truth. You demonstrate it with your life. You pray for them, and then you leave them in the Lord's hands. But don't let somebody's lack of growth so consume your attention that you yourself stop growing in Christ. You know, there are some of you, and you're married to an unbeliever. You're married to somebody who is not spiritually interested. Don't let that stop your growing in Christ. Pray for them, live the truth in front of them, encourage them without nagging them, but leave them to the Lord. Listen, God loves them more than you. God cares about them more than you. God is working even when you can't see it. So you just grow in Christ. You become powerful in Christ. You become deep in Christ. And I promise you, they will notice that, and that itself will have a huge transforming effect on their life. Paul closes this portion of Philippians with this in verse 16. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. In other words, you and I, let's go forward. Let's grow in Christ. Let's pursue Him. Let's behold Him. Let's be enthralled with Him. Let's enjoy Him. Let's think about Christ. Let's set our mind in heavenly places. And let's let Christ give us an experience of the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, that you and I might know Him like we've never known Him before. Now, before I close, I just want to ask you a couple of questions. First of all, if you're a believer, if you're a follower of Christ, if you've given your heart to Christ, you're walking with Him, I want to ask you this. Are you growing in Christ? If not, Is it possible that maybe somewhere along the line you lost your focus? That in your life, it's not this one thing I do, but it's these many things I'm concerned about and do? Listen, nothing is better and nothing is more important than growing in Christ. And today in this message, through the Word of God, you're watching it, and I believe God set that up, that you might hear the Word, that the Holy Spirit might speak to your heart, that He might call you back to get your life on center, on focus in pursuing Christ, to pursue Him with a greater commitment, to pursue Him with greater enthusiasm, to pursue Him with greater zeal, so that you might increase in your knowledge of Him, but I pray even more your experience of His power working in your life and every aspect of your life in ways that you can't begin to imagine. I encourage you to do this. Ask God right now, at the close of this message, ask Him to help you reorder your focus. Get your calendar out. Think through what you need to change in your life to be able to increase your focus on Christ, whether it's the time you spend with Him, when you spend that time with Him. Maybe it's simply a matter of you getting in a life group, getting around other believers. You know, when we're isolated from fellowship with other believers, it slows our growth down. This is why we're such big believers in life groups. It's why we want to see you in Grow Track, because when we're serving and we're around other believers, it changes our life. It propels us forward in Christ. I just want to encourage you, focus on Him with all that is within you and watch what He's going to do in your life. I have a second question for people who are watching today. And it's this, have you begun walking with Christ? Earlier in the message, I quoted from Romans 8:29, but listen to the very next verse. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 30, Paul writes, and having chosen them, he's talking about God and God's plan. It says this, He called them to come to Him. Do you realize that right now, Jesus is calling you, if you don't know Him, to come to Him? Or if you're away from Him, Jesus is calling you to come to Him. He's knocking on the door of your heart. He wants you to open your heart to Him. He wants you to recommit your life to Him. He wants you to invite Him into your life so that you can personally experience His life-changing power. And when you invite Him into your life or you rededicate your life to Him, He's not only going to forgive you of your sin, but His power is going to make you into a brand new person. Would you like God to make you into a brand new person? From the inside out, to change you? Would you like to know that you've not only been forgiven of your sin, but that now He's at work in you? I remember when I got saved that just a matter of a few weeks after that, without somebody talking to me about it, without somebody telling me to watch for it, I began to realize my life was totally different. That the things I used to want to do, I didn't want to do anymore. The things I used to think would be boring, all of a sudden, I found myself being drawn to. And I realized this, I had a relationship, a personal relationship with God. A relationship where I was beginning to not only know about God, but I was beginning to really know Him. I mean, as well, it was such a joy for me to know anytime I ever thought of heaven, I knew I was going there for sure. I never had to worry about what would happen if I died. I knew I would go to heaven. Listen, if you'd like that in your life, what you need to do is you need to call out to God. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But you have to call. It's a decision only you can make for you. No one can call on God for you but you. And I know this. I know that God is speaking to so many hearts right now, and He's speaking to your heart. The question is, will you respond? If so, and you're saying, you know, John, I would like to respond. What do I do? I want to lead you in a simple prayer where you, as I'm praying, you just pray along with me or just agree with me in prayer. And I'm gonna lead you in a prayer to ask Jesus into your heart. Let's do it right now. Jesus, I thank you for going to the cross to pay for my sin. Today, I want to receive your forgiveness. I surrender my life to you, and I want you to make me a new person. Thank you for doing it. Amen.